You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
This is the Spurs Cast with your host, Paul Garcia.
And welcome back to another episode of the Spurs Cast. On today's episode, I will be speaking with Project Spurs writer Colin Reed. In this episode, Colin and I discuss the latest Spurs signings and break down teams with trade player exceptions since San Antonio has to trade or waive three players before opening night. Before I record, I do want to note that we are recording this episode on Wednesday, August 2nd at 6:03 p.m. Mountain Time. So in case any news breaks, you all know if we didn't discuss it. So let's jump right into this episode with Colin. Colin, how you doing?
I'm doing well. You know, we still have stuff to discuss. You know, we go deep into like the minutiae and stuff, and that's fun and good. USA basketball is about to start not too long from now. But honestly, I've been so glad to have at least somewhat of a break. I've been like diving into Pikmin 4. I've been loving it. It's been great. But like, you know, it's so interesting because even you and I, like, we get so into it that like this period from like July 15th to September 1st is kind of like, you know, we still have things to talk about like we're going to do today, but it's a little holiday and it's kind of nice and rejuvenating. It's very needed when it's basically a 10 and a half month sport.
Yeah, for sure. Especially the fact that like right now, like I'm in the bi-weekly mode of recording the Spurs Cast. So I'd have to do an episode every single week, you know, because there's not much news going out. But there was just today, I'm going to, on our first topic, I'm going to talk about some cap nerdery that you and I would definitely enjoy here. So that kind of made sense here. All right. So let's go ahead and jump right into today's episode. So let's first talk about some latest news for the Spurs since I last recorded about 2 weeks ago on July 20th. First of all, they officially re-signed Sandro Mamukelashvili. His contract details haven't come out yet, but we do assume it's for the veteran minimum. They officially agreed to a two-way contract with Dominic Barlow and re-signed him on a two-way contract. And then the more surprising move was that they signed Sidy Sissoko, but to a three-year deal. The first 2 years are fully guaranteed according to Keith Smith of Spotrac, and the third year is non-guaranteed. Those exact figures haven't come out just yet. But the reason why I talked about cap nerdery, I guess, is that the Spurs had a way to open about $2 million in cap space, and they had to renounce Mamu's cap hold and then use that $2 million to sign Sissoko, and that looks like that's what they did. It looks like they didn't use the second-round pick exception. They actually signed him with that last a bit of cap space to sign Sissoko. So Sissoko's on a full deal. There was some player news regarding one of the Spurs' guards, Devontae Graham. The NBA said earlier today on a Wednesday that he's going to be suspended for two games of the regular season for pleading guilty to a charge of impaired driving in North Carolina. And this isn't when he was a Spur. This was back when he was with the Pelicans. It was in the summer of 2022. So this is something he got charged with. He pleaded guilty, but now the NBA's providing the penalty for him. And so that will be a two-game suspension whenever the regular season does begin in October. And then just some news that we're waiting for the Spurs, as we're going to talk about here in a little bit, they need to now waiver trade three players, not just two anymore, three players, since they gave Sissoko a full roster spot between now and the first game of the regular season. And then we're also waiting to see if they provide an extension to Devin Vassell, if he and the Spurs agree to a contract extension. So I want to get your first thoughts on what are your thoughts on the Sissoko deal? And then do you think that the Spurs and Vassell will eventually come to an agreement on a contract extension?
Yeah, so I think of players who were second-round picks that the Spurs gave guaranteed contracts to before their first season. And the two that I can think of recently were Trey Jones, of course, and, oh my gosh, I can't remember. He plays for the Kings now, but, like, he's definitely a rotation player.
Chimezie Metu? Was it?
Yes, Metu.
Okay.
And, you know, like, one thing is when players get drafted, I think – people can get really excited of like, oh, this could be the next Jokic. Like Jokic was drafted in the 40s or whatever. Or, oh, this could be our next franchise star. And what people don't realize is after like the top three or four picks, like rotation player is a win. I saw someone post stats recently that were like in the second half, like in the 20s and beyond of the first round, like 20 to 29 or whatever. It's less than a 50% chance that those players even become rotation level players, you know? And so the fact that the Spurs have had some track record with, hey, when they sign these guys to guaranteed money from the second round before their first season, you know, generally they have a pretty strong feeling that this is the kind of guy that can have an NBA career. So, you know, and they're not perfect, just like none of us are perfect. So that's not saying he's absolutely going to be a rotation player or anything, but I would say that that's a good vote of confidence to his level of who he can be as a player, and that they believe with the limited stuff that they've seen so far that he can be an NBA player, which is a pretty good vote of confidence for the 44th pick.
Yeah, and especially some of the signs you saw from him in Summer League. I mean, just already ready NBA defensive potential out there on the wing. He's got a big body. He can kind of be physical with players. And obviously, he's going to need some development on the offensive end. But that's why even though he signed a full contract, they can still send him to Austin, you know, for a lot of G League games if he can't crack the rotation initially. So, yeah, you know, that was a move that was actually originally reported out of France from L'Equipe. And then it ended up coming true that he got that full roster spot. What are your thoughts on Devin Vassell and the Spurs eventually agreeing to an extension? Do you think they'll do that?
I think we had first talked about this, like, oh man, it was like either before the season ended or around the trade mm-hmm. deadline or something, and kind of, or it might have even been last season as we're kind of like looking ahead or something. But to me, Devin Vassell kind of has too much pop potential, you know, like not Coach Pop, but like the like, yeah, oh my gosh, he went from, you know, this rotation guy who can score at all three levels and is a above average defender to, hey, if he takes one or two more steps forward on offense and defense, now he's like if Wimby really, really hits on both ends, this could be a guy that could be a second or third contributor to a championship team like that. I don't think that's where he is today, but I think that he has the potential to become that. And I think you cannot let that player go. So I think they're going to get it done. I'm going to be interested to see what the number is. I think it's going to be, I think the last time we talked, we said it's probably going to be in the higher 20s. And I have not changed on that opinion. Because the deadline, you know, deadlines really get people into gear, as it were, a lot of the times. And because the deadline is the first day of the regular season, I would imagine that it's getting done in October, but I would be surprised if it did not happen.
Okay, I'm still with you right there, just like we talked about in a previous episode. I do think his range is somewhere like that 20 to 25 million range. And one thing I've really been doing is and I've heard some media people talking about this, is really focusing on the percentage of the cap. I'm going to really start like tweeting that a lot more, or how do you say, Xing it? I forgot how to say something. Anyway, so I'm going to definitely start providing those numbers more so than just the raw financial information, because I think it really is key. Because even like a Devin 20 to 25 million, it's only like 19% of the cap or something like that. It's not a lot. And I think we really need to start looking at the players' contracts that way. So I agree with you. I think what threw us off was that the fact that last year they did Keldon's deal really early in July, and normally with like DeJounte Murray and Derek White, they usually waited, like you said, to October. So I do think that they're going to eventually come to some sort of decision with Devin Vassell. And of course, if they don't, then he goes into restricted free agency, and then, you know, they still have the opportunity to resign him. So yeah, we'll eventually see what happens with Vassell. All right. So now that they, like I mentioned, that they signed Sissoko to a full roster spot, there is an issue here with the team where they need to either trade or waive three players before opening night of the regular season in October. So before we dive into some teams that have some trade player exceptions that I've kind of looked at, I want to first talk about some of the players who are probably likely to get waived or traded. So first, let's start off with the most likely players. I have a list here. We have Devontae Graham, who's going to earn $12.1 million a season. Plus, he has $2.8 million partially guaranteed in 24-25. Reggie Bullock, $11 million. He's on the final year of his deal. Ken Burch, $6.9 million. He's in the final year of his deal. Jetty Osman, $6.7 million, also the final year of his deal. And then Cameron Payne is at $6.5 million, also in the final year of his deal. Now, these next three players are also kind of like on expiring contracts, except that they're more established parts of the team. These players have been with the Spurs for a number of years now. And so you have Doug McDermott at $13.7 million, Zach Collins, $7.7 million. And then Charles Bassey is at $2.6 million. He does have multiple years left on his deal, but they're all non-guaranteed going forward. So he can't be have his contract kind of like an expiring contract. So I guess let me ask my first question here. Do you agree that those players on the most likely list are most likely to get traded, or do you feel like Doug or Charles should be moved to that other side? What do you think?
I do think that, but what's difficult for me is I kind of see it in tiers, you know, where we have like most likely is like Devontae Graham and Kim Burch. And then with Bullock, Osman, and Payne, there's actually like a case for any one of them being important for the Spurs this coming season. You know, like campaign when the Suns went on their finals run, you know, obviously he was playing next to Devin Booker, who's a very high level player, but when Chris Paul missed some time that year, he stepped into the starting lineup and was able to continue kind of running that offense a little bit. Again, you know, he's next to Booker, so like Booker is obviously a big part of that, but he is a player who could be the Spurs backup point guard off the bench and would do that role very adequately, you know. And I think Reggie Bullock, his shooting very much fits the team, and I think Osman is, you know, that kind of wing guy. I think maybe like a little bit average range of some of those wing skills, but you know, you can never have too many wings in today's NBA. So I think for me, I would imagine that they try to find a trade partner for Graham and Burch. They're probably just going to have to waive, but to me, what's going to be interesting is how are they going to be able to, like, how are they going to make the decision between those other three guys? Because I do think the established with a team, they are keeping, unless it's part of like a three-team Dame trade or three-team Harden trade or something. Like, I don't think any one of the people on the right are just getting waived. And so what's interesting is, like, how are they going to decide between those three players? Because to me, any one of them can have value on the team, and they're all NBA players. I mean, all the people on this page are like rotation players, but I think that those three are like guys that if they got waived, they might not make it off of waivers kind of thing. So
this is interesting. Because I haven't been of the belief that they would just waive Graham if they can't find a trade, but man, because now hearing you say that, just because he has that other part of his deal, you know, in the final year, I mean on the 24-25 partially guaranteed, that kind of throws off my thinking here. So I think Burch, like you said, I think they're just gonna have to waive him. I don't think there's gonna be a trade partner for him. And then it gets tough because, like we said, there's two other players that need to get traded or waived. So before we answer that, we'll go back to this question a little bit. I actually had it on my notebook, but it's pretty far away from the mic, so I'm probably not gonna go get it. But I had like a list of my final outcome here, or like predictions. But let's first jump into the teams though, Colin, that have some trade player exceptions. So let's first begin with some teams with trade player exceptions. We're going to go through a few teams here. Some we won't go into detail just because they're involved in some other trades right now, most likely. So the first team is the Atlanta Hawks. They have a $23 million trade exception, so they could basically take in any one of these players on the list. They are $7.8 million under the tax, so they're kind of disqualify some of the players like that are over that amount, like Reggie Bullock, maybe you know, a player making $11 million. So he's probably off their list because if you're the Hawks, you probably want to stay under the tax. They also have 15 players on guaranteed deals, which means that if they were to bring in one of these Spurs players with the trade exception, they have to waive somebody as well on their team. Now, they don't have too many second round picks without any kind of restrictions. There's only a 20-30 second rounder that they have that doesn't have any restrictions. And then I could see them being a team who maybe looks at campaign just because he would compete with them. Their only backup point guard behind Trae Young is Patty Mills right now for that backup spot. Then we have the Brooklyn Nets, who have a $19.9 million trade exception. Again, can take in any one of these Spurs players into their trade exception. They are $10 million under the tax. They have one open guaranteed spot, and then they have multiple second round picks that with no restrictions. They have a 2026, 28, 29, and 30. I could also make the Cameron Payne case for Brooklyn, where maybe he competes with Dennis Smith Jr. for backup minutes. But other Spurs players, just because, again, the situation where those teams probably want to stay under the tax, I can't find a deal for them, to use that TP on any of those other Spurs players that we listed a while ago. What do you think about these two ideas?
Yeah, and I think, even with the Hawks, like, that's getting them, like, fairly close to that tax line, and, like, that that would take away some of their flexibility throughout the season, because unless all of a sudden in year two this DeJounte Trey pairing is really clicking, I would not imagine that they're going to have the go ahead from ownership to go over the tax, the Nets would have a little bit more breathing room, and kind of the way that their team is constructed, we talk about you can never have too many wings. Well, they have a couple of pretty good wings, and now you can maybe put some competent playmaking around those wings, and you kind of have something there. So I think, that I would say, I like the paint fit in Brooklyn, especially.
Okay.
I think, it's hard, because there is part of me that yearns for days gone by. And I'm like, well, how can the Hawks send Patty back, and then we still find a way for the Spurs to cut three? Like, you and I are going to be sitting there doing mental gymnastics until like the day before the season starts. But man, I just feel like Mills would be such a good like culture guy for this young team. I kind of wonder if maybe Payne would be a better fit for the Hawks, because I think at this point in their careers, Payne probably has more on-court value. So I think I would agree with you on the assessment that either of these teams are probably only looking for Cameron Payne. So I would agree with that.
And so my thing why they would both say no maybe is just because, like, do they want to give up a second rounder for Payne when they already have, pretty good options there at the backup point guard spot? And if so, maybe they would have to, like, put a lot of heavy protections on that second round pick. And just something that you mentioned there was, like, the reason why I stayed away from teams, like, just trading one-for-one players is because the Spurs are in that same predicament, even if they do a one-for-one. So that's why I'm really focused on these trade exception teams, because then the Spurs wouldn't need to send back a player to that team. Okay, let's go to some other teams here. We have the Wizards, who have a $12.4 million trade exception. They have a lot of space under the tax, should I say. They're $27.1 million under the tax. But they're very much like the Hawks, where they actually have 16 players on guaranteed deals right now, so which would mean that if they took in one of these Spurs players, they would have to waive two players on their roster. They also don't have many second-round picks without any restrictions, so they only have one to 2030. And as far as looking at the players that fit into that $12.4 million, just the depth that the Wizards have, like, at different spots, I didn't find a deal for the Spurs. Do you think anybody on the Spurs might fit with Washington?
Yeah, I think that's hard to find, and especially you look at, they only have one 2030. They have 16 players on guaranteed deals. So at that point, it's like, even though these are good players, like we talked about, now you're starting to change the calculus with the Wizards want the Spurs to attach a pick to take on that contract, and then you're saying, well, okay, if we're salary dumping, why not just waive?
Exactly.
That's where I'm at, because like the Wizards, I think that the players on the Wizards are going to try very hard next year. I don't know if they are like extremely focused on like finding the most optimal ninth man so that they can be the best team they can next season, if I can put it that way. So I think at that point, if I were in the Wizards front office, I wouldn't be trading my only remaining unencumbered second round pick for any of the players we listed earlier, if I'm being honest.
I agree with you. That's why I said no deal to be found. We're going to skip the Heat. The Heat do have a $9.5 million trade exception, but we know that they're in those Damian Lillard trade negotiations, so that could all change. So we'll skip the Heat. We're also going to skip Portland because they're also involved in the Dame negotiations. They do have an $8.3 million trade exception. Let's talk about the Pacers, though. They have $7.4 million in cap space still. They have 15 players on guaranteed deals, which would mean that if they took in a Spurs player into that cap, they would need to waive one player. They do have an unprotected 2025 second and a 2030. I couldn't find another. I'm at the issue here. I couldn't find a Spurs player that quite fit with them. I do think Reggie Bullock would be nice for them, but they just can't fit his salary. He makes too much money. He makes $11 million. So it just wouldn't work. I couldn't find any other deals. What do you think about the Pacers?
Yeah, I think it's hard on any of these rosters that are already kind of up against the roster limit. And I'm going to, you know, I don't know kind of the second half of the Pacers roster all that well, to be honest. So I'm not sure if there's any players that they, you know, again, we're talking about at that point, if they have to send a player back for salary matching, now it'd have to be a 2-for-1 deal for it to make sense. There might be some waiving involved even for good players. You know, as we go through this exercise, you would think, oh, well, trading them would be the best, but I mean, how are they going to get there?
Okay. And the last two teams. So we have the Memphis Grizzlies. They have a $7.5 million trade exception. They are $13.4 million under the tax. They are in a tough spot. They're actually in a worse spot than the Spurs. They have 17 players on guaranteed deals. So then if they took in a Spurs player, they would need a waiver trade three players. They only have one unprotected second rounder at 2030. I could not find a deal with the Grizzlies. And then the Knicks, they have a $6.8 million trade exception. They're only $4.7 million under the tax. They do have a lot of room on their roster. They have only 11 players on guaranteed deals, and they have a bunch of second round picks. But again, the problem there is that, you know, do they want to go over the tax to bring in a player who's basically making maybe like a Jetty Osman, a Ken Birch, or a Cameron Payne? Those are the only players that would even fit into that trade exception. So again, I couldn't quite find a deal with the Knicks. Do you agree with those two opinions? What do you think?
Well, even the fact that those players fit in the traded player exception, that's still like going over the tax line. And again, like going to ownership and saying, we think we are Jetty Osman away from winning a title. So like, we'll take him on and go over. Like, that's a hard sell, you know?
And it is.
I know fans hate to think about the financials when it comes to this, but like, these players are being paid real money and someone's signing those checks. And like, there is the Suns' new owner, and there is Steve Ballmer, and those are like the only two that have shown like we do not care. And the rest, you know, they have to. Almost every team's operating assumption is if we're not competing for a title, we're not really just wanting to hang out in the tax. So, you know, with them being so close to that, like they only have 11 players on roster, so that's a good fit. But the being less than $5 million away from the tax makes that a pretty terrible fit.
Yep. So, I mean, at the end of the day, the Spurs, I mean, the front office has a tough job to do in these next few months. I mean, before opening night, like that's the reason why I wanted to focus on who has the space to bring those teams in, like as far as the trade exceptions. So the Spurs don't have to send a salary back, and it's tough to find teams or players that fit with those teams. And then also a lot of these teams already have to make waves themselves or like trade players themselves. Like they're already over the roster limit. So let's do an early, what is this, August 2nd prediction. I'm sorry to put you on the spot, but yeah. So let's just go through this. Who do you think are the three players you could either say, you know, they so and so gets traded or waived? Do you want me to get my predictions first, then you go, or how do you want to do this?
I can go first because a little bit of spicy pasta here. I'm thinking Devonte Graham, and the reason why is because the people who are in the know, like the newsbreakers, they always know more than they tell you. And I saw that today, and I don't remember if it was Shams or ESPN report, I think that was Andrew Lopez, the wording was very specific. The wording was, he will be suspended for two games
when he's
eligible to play. And that's very interesting, because why wouldn't he? He's not hurt, you know? So that tells me that they know something. They know something. So I'd say Devonte Graham, Kim Birch. Okay.
Or waived, you said, right? Waived?
Yes, waved. And this goes back to the Knicks real quick. Why would the Knicks trade for these players when if the Knicks don't trade for them, the Spurs would have to waive them, and then they can sign them to minimums and still be under the
tax? Well, a lot of these teams too, right? Like, why are you giving up second round picks when you know the Spurs are facing a deadline? They have to trade. They have to waive these players. So I think a lot of those teams that like these players, maybe that's why I think they hang on to someone like Reggie Bullock or Chet Jetty Osman, because they have more value right now. Who's your third player?
It's so interesting because I can see the other three as good trade pieces. I'm going to say, they probably keep Bullock and Osman, and they see what they can get at the trade deadline. I'd be interested, though. One of the things that they were talking about, I was listening to Dunked On's like offseason grades or whatever, and one of the things they mentioned about the Barlow two-way thing was they said, well, I wonder if sometime throughout the season when they trade one of these players, maybe it's a 2-for-1 or something, they open up a roster, like they kind of have made a wink wink with Barlow to say, hey, sometime during the season we're going to open up a 14th spot and you're coming on into that spot, because I do think,
and that's something you mentioned before, like that idea.
And I think Osman and Bullock are going to be so much easier to move during the season when a team is like, oh man, we just need a little bit more shooting, or oh man, we just need one more like wing sized guy in our rotation that can do wing things. And I think that's what I'm going to stick with, because I think even though Cameron Payne does fit a need on the Spurs, I do think a bunch of teams have backup point guard, and the two that would have the most trade value later on would be Bullock and Osman.
Okay, so then but
Graham, Birch, and Payne of the waived.
So you think okay. So I'm actually with you right there, except that I'm going to change it. I'm going to say that somebody does make a deal for Payne, that they actually try to acquire him. I think he has some good value. I think that Payne gets traded. I think Birch definitely gets waived. And so now I'm with, oh man. So I initially going into this, I didn't know if I would say Graham was going to get waived, but I think you convinced me. I think that's probably what's going to end up happening here, especially because I saw that too about what you mentioned about the press release. And so I'm going to say Graham gets waived as well. I think that you got to keep Bullock and Osman, like you said, till the February trade deadlines, you know, see how much you can get for that, both those players. Even someone like McDermott, if they have no future plans with him, you still hold on to him till February, you know, before, you know, having to move on from McDermott. Bassey's interesting though, man, because that was actually my original answer, just because I just didn't know if they would want to waive Graham, who had, you know, just partially guaranteed money on the following year. But now you've kind of convinced me a little bit more, so you kind of changed my opinion on that one, just listening to some of your thoughts there. So, yeah, look, that's the situation the Spurs are finding themselves in right now. It's a tough, you know, I really wanted to break down this exercise and go through it just because, like I said, it's really tough to find deals for these players. And the fact that the Spurs have to make three of them, and they're going to some really good players, like you said, good rotation players are going to end up becoming unrestricted free agents most likely. All right. So I do want to say thank you to Colin for joining me here on this episode of the Spurs Cast. I also want to say thank you to Joe Garcia for mixing and producing this episode. Please subscribe, rate, and review the Spurs Cast on podcast platforms and YouTube. From all of us at Project Spurs, stay safe and have a great day.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.